just trying to change the world here, people.
Oh, really?
Facebooking and the tweeting and the Instagramming, all that would not exist without our understanding of science.
So it's amazing that you took that as an insult.
You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else? Have
yeah,
to
absolutely,
true
because
you.
I can't
think either got to be true or not.
I can't, no.
Good evening, Internet. It's Oh Really Radio, show 43 for Friday, January 30th, 2015. I'm your host, Andy Cowan. Combined with the forces of Don Davis and David O'Connor.
What is up?
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, very, very good. Yes.
What is up, my cracker?
Well, I heard some sad news today.
Sad news.
Sad news.
What was the sad news?
Well, Winds of Winter, the sixth book in the George R.R. Martin, A Song of Ice and Fire series, isn't going to be released this year.
That's because he's a troll.
Is that why? He's a troll?
He's a troll. He trolls people. He trolls his readers, IRL.
He does. He does a bit. On his on his blog.
He looks like a troll, too.
Yeah.
So like, I'm going to spend thousands of pages making you like this guy, and then I'm going to kill him in the most horrifying, horrible way that you can imagine, because George R.R. Martin.
Yeah, that is kind of it. He said he has he only speaks personally on his own personal LiveJournal page. I am amazed that LiveJournal is still around, but it is. And
well, he still runs DOS.
Does he?
What's wrong with DOS?
Aside from the fact that it's amazingly outdated?
Yeah, but it's still but it's still incredibly effective at what it does. So, but that's besides the point. That's besides the point. Okay. Yeah. He says, look, I've said before, and I will say again, I don't play games with news about the books. I know how many people are waiting, how long they've been waiting, how anxious they are. I am still working on Winds. When it's done, I will announce it here. There won't be any clues to decipher, any codes or hidden meanings. The announcement will be straightforward and to the point. I won't time it to coincide with Christmas or Valentine's Day or Lincoln's birthday. The book will not rise from the dead with Jesus on Easter Sunday. When it is done, I will say it's done. On whatever day I happen to finish. I don't know how I can make it any clearer.
Meh.
So what was he really trying to say there?
I think what he was trying to say is that he's going to time it for Halloween. Halloween release. Because that's the holiday he didn't mention.
Yes.
I figured it was Boxing Day.
There's far more in what he didn't say. This is definitely going to be for Thanksgiving. Totally. Yeah,
it's
something like that.
He's doing a conspiracy against everything.
He's a slow writing author, people. You just gotta let the man do what he does.
Yeah, it's
he has enough money to take a lot of vacations now.
He does.
Even when he didn't, he was still slow.
Yeah, it's been 5 years, I think. Well, 4 years. A Dance with Dragons was published in 2011. So we have been waiting quite some time, and we're going to wait some more, it looks like. So that's my saddest news, I think, of the whole thing. I mean, we could be done right now. I mean, that is the news, really.
That is news. That is news.
No, obviously that's not really all the news. Okay. So, where do you want to start from there? That one really caught me because I'm a fan, and I know that you've been, I listened to last week's show. So I know how much of a fan you are, David. Cause
yes.
you were making, you know, a Song of Ice and Fire references just all the time.
I have not read the books.
Well, Game of Thrones references. It's the same thing.
I mean, yeah.
Close enough.
We're almost done with season 3. So we were a little behind.
Don't worry.
But it's amazingly well done.
It is a, it's a, yeah.
And I will eventually need to watch
it. It is amazingly well done, and it is thoroughly entertaining. It keeps you interested. There's a whole bunch of shit that happens that you don't see coming. There's brilliant characters and idiot characters and everything in between. There's good and bad, and they run the entire gamut per person on a regular basis. So it's, you know.
Totally true. Yeah. There's something for everybody in there. So, speaking of something for everybody, the FCC has quintupled the legal definition of broadband internet. Quintupled.
Yay, good for them.
So it used to be a paltry 4 megabytes down and 1 megabyte up was all it took for a connection to be considered broadband. The FCC has just flipped that definition on its ear, according to this article out on Engadget. FCC commissioners voted 3-2 in favor of upping the broadband threshold. And pretty dramatically, too, now service providers will have to offer speeds of 25 megabits down and 3 megabytes up if they want to apply that label. Now, I've been dealing this week with a rather persnickety AT&T DSL connection.
Hmm.
At best, it was doing 8 down and 512 up. It is no longer considered broadband.
Nope. Mine is no longer considered broadband. I have Bright House, which used to be Time Warner, and that is 20 down and 1 up.
Now, you might want to run a speed test, because I got a little thing in the mail saying that they had raised my download speeds for no additional cost. So I ran a speed test before the show, and I was getting 80 megabits down, only 4 up. But that's because I was uploading to you guys right here on Overland Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so really, the upload speed is the bitch. I mean, really.
Yeah.
That's the bitch of it.
Yeah.
So those guys out there with the Fios and Google Fiber with synchronous download and upload speeds, the same up, same down. Oh, I'm envious. I'm greatly envious.
The only, am I incorrect in thinking that the only reason they're limiting that is to keep people from like serving from their houses? And
absolutely. No, you are completely correct in that.
Okay.
They don't want people like me.
Why? Yeah. I mean, that's most networks are the same in both directions.
Well, corporate networks, yes.
Yes, yeah, so, I mean, yeah, it's.
But you pay through the nose for it, typically. You pay a lot for those kind of connections. They've been doing, AT&T has definitely been working on, actually, one of the technicians. Now, don't take this as gospel as what the company is doing. This is one technician talking to another technician about what might be insider information. And it also may be wrong, because that's happened a few hundred times before in my experience. They are apparently trying to phase out DSL entirely in favor of going with AT&T UVerse. Now that sounds great on the surface, but they didn't tell us that that's what they were doing when we had the line problems. So they sent out a UVerse tech with us just trying to fix the DSL connection. And the UVerse technician couldn't actually do anything because they have to work on a line that's already good in order to change things. Yeah, so it was a giant clusterfuck over the whole thing. And there, we've earned the explicit rating just now. Thank you, AT&T, for allowing me to up the rating to explicit. You do it every time I have to work with you. Every single time.
Fox.
Yeah, it's it's always an experience. I owe a lot of overtime to them, I suppose. So there's that.
Well, from what I've gathered from previous company and everything, none of the other ones are any better. Sprint and I forget the other one.
Verizon.
I don't.
Verizon's got fiber optic service though.
I don't want to say that they're better. I don't want to say that they're better, but AT&T is better at being worse.
I was just saying they're all worse. They're all
Yeah. But AT&T is it is a labyrinth in customer service. You have to know the right words to say to the right people, the gatekeepers, at every stage of the way in order to get in and do the right thing to get everything you need done. As a technician that where I'm going out to other places that don't always have another IT guy or even proper records of the connection information and the billing information in particular, in order to get certain things done, like, okay, it's broken. I need a new modem. I can't get into the old modem to get any of the information to give you. So how are we going to authenticate that I am a valid user that is allowed to get it?
Can you unplug the cable out of the back of the modem, please, sir? And then try plugging that back in and see what that does?
If anybody asks you if you're a network administrator, you say yes.
Exactly.
Sorry.
No, that's completely true.
That is.
Where AT&T is, Gozer the Gozerian.
Yes. Next time they ask you, you say, yes, I am Gozer.
Exactly. We definitely need a keymaster around here someplace.
Are you root?
Are you root? Nice. No, I am Groot.
And
okay.
Die.
Oh, terrible. Oh, God. So, oh, God, we're a bunch of geeks. I love it. So,
I tried not to think of anything.
He would never hurt us. It was all wonderful memories.
What just popped in there? We used to get packet loss playing Quake.
Oh, God. I remember lagging out around the corner every time.
Rubber banded back.
We were playing Tribes, and I lagged out. I don't know what happened. Oh, jeez. Oh, the memories.
I thought it was going to kill us.
Oh, okay. Back to the news. Otherwise, we're going to be here another 2.5 hours like we were last week. Okay.
It was fun, though.
Okay, there was a story out on Good Morning America, ABC channel affiliate, about a Delta pilot who it was in flight, and he had to go to the bathroom. And then he got locked out of the cockpit.
I thought he got locked in the bathroom.
No. He was locked out of the cockpit. He could not get back into the cockpit to fly the plane.
This morning, an exclusive look inside what became an unusual Delta flight. Shortly before final approach to Las Vegas, the pilot in the cabin tells everyone he's locked out of his own cockpit.
The pilot got on the intercom system and said, you know, unfortunately, I have some bad news. I had to go to the bathroom, and when I came back out, I got locked out of the cockpit. The door's jammed.
He can't get back in to rejoin the first officer on the flight they started from Minneapolis. So the co-pilot is alone, a solo landing. The tower alerted, so ground crews are ready for what the airport considers an emergency landing. A landing without problems for the 168 passengers.
The whole aircraft just started applauding, hollering and hooting. People are saying, thank God.
The only snag, the ground steering controls are on the captain's side, so the jet towed to the gate. Delta co-pilots, like all co-pilots, are fully trained to land planes, and the airline says this landing was without incident. Delta says maintenance crews are now taking a look at that cockpit door.
Now, the passenger that we talked to says that the captain came back and calmed everybody as they were getting ready to make that landing, and he says as he was leaving, the maintenance crew found a piece of string. They kept that door from opening, Robin.
A piece of string?
That's what they're saying.
It's never fun.
Not from
pilots.
Delta yet, just from the passenger.
All right. Thank you so much, David. Appreciate that.
Never fun when the pilot's walking, serving the drinks.
No. That's not a good sign. I know he's meant to calm them, but I don't know how calm he would have been seeing him there.
No. Yeah. That would be bad. I don't know how he got completely locked out. That doesn't make any sense to me. I would think that you can put it on autopilot and the co-pilot would have been able to get out of the seat and open the door for him. Unless there's a regulation that I don't know about, and there probably is, that that's not,
well, the,
that is foreboding.
It depends on the cockpit, because sometimes it's pretty cramped in there.
Whoa.
Like the co-pilot may have had to stand on shit in order to open the door, potentially.
Well, the other thing is they said it was jammed. They didn't say he just couldn't get it open. He said it was jammed.
Yeah.
So they may have tried that and it was jammed. They couldn't do a running start with his and bust it open with his.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good to go barreling into the cockpit.
No, that would be bad.
Yeah.
Overall, that would be a bad thing.
The thing that I also don't understand is why not just have the first officer get the captain's chair.
Well, they covered that a little bit in the text of the article. Apparently, the co-pilot not being trained actually as a full pilot, he was more comfortable in his station.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and his station can do most of the.
He could land the plane from there. He just couldn't do the taxiing. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
makes sense.
You know, I guess when it's your first time landing, you know, 160 people, you go with what's comfortable. I couldn't have said, it's like, nope, can't do that. I would have thought that, you know, once he hit the ground, he would have maybe been able to stop and then, you know, get over and then do the taxiing. But I guess it was just easier to have the emergency ground staff. Yeah. So, since they were already going to be on edge as soon as he arrived.
Yeah.
It's something else.
And now he's one landing closer to his pilot's license.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think he can definitely probably go get that certification real easy now if he didn't already have it.
You're done good, kid.
Now, the thing about, I was thinking, it's like, ooh, is this one of those cases where the tower actually landed the plane remotely? Because they can do that.
Cool,
they have done it in the past.
Cool, okay,
what's that?
I see. That's cool that they can do that now. You look back at movies.
They've been able to do that for quite some time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm honestly surprised that a lot of pilots are still doing their own landings, but I guess, you know, it's good to practice.
Well, apparently they don't really do much of the flying in between, but they do the takeoffs and they do the landings. And that's pretty much that.
Well,
actually, you know, I don't even know how much of the takeoff they do other than press the button. But that would be something to ask some of my pilot friends. I'll need to see if I can get some confirmation on what the latest is on that kind of action.
I mean, with the aging air traffic control stuff in a lot of the airports, there's probably some stipulation that they need to wait until they upgrade.
Yeah. So, well, basically, they'd send a message primarily to the plane's onboard computers. You know, here are your instructions, follow them. And then it would take over because the autopilot on the plane can control every surface. You know, it's all fly-by-wire, you know, servos and everything. So that nothing's actually connected to anything. You know, yes, the yoke will go, but there's a motor in there that does that.
Yeah. But you also don't have the feel of the plane.
Yeah.
So if they're like weird wind stuff, you don't understand that. That's probably one major reason they still have people.
Oh, yeah.
You can actually feel what the plane's doing. Instinct. Human instinct.
Yeah. Especially for pilots, they will always tell you that they need the instinct really to do the job right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I tend to agree. I tend to agree.
Yeah.
So let's see. There's also just staying in science, technology and stuff like that. The Pew Research Center put out a new study on public interests and knowledge versus scientist interests and knowledge. And essentially the study, PBS kind of did an editorial on it. The rundown study reveals wide opinion differences between the sciences and general public. I'm not a bit surprised at that particular, but they actually broke it down into certain groups. Like, these are worth talking about. GMO food are okay to eat. U.S. adults, 37% say yes. Scientists say 88%. Humans have evolved. U.S. adults, 65%. Scientists, 98%. That is the highest among scientists' consensus. Require childhood vaccines, 68% of U.S. adults, and 86% of scientists. Humans worsen climate change. U.S. adults, 50%. Scientists, 87%. Now, we've heard, this is my opportunity to interject here. We've heard, of course, the 97% of scientists agree that climate change is real and that humans are a cause. That is 97% of climate scientists, a specific group of scientists that say that. This is overall all scientists of every discipline. And that's still a high number at 87%. Didn't really go down all that much. They had 10%. that we should increase fracking, which is putting water and other chemicals into the ground to basically force oil and natural gas to come out of it so that we can capture it. And, of course, that is a gross understatement of what the technology actually is. But U.S. adults, 39% of U.S. adults say that we should increase fracking, and only 31% of scientists say that we should. And as far as drilling more offshore, 52% of U.S. Americans say that, yes, we need to put more holes in the ground and suck more of those ancient plants out. And only 32% of scientists say that we ought to do that. I wonder how many of those are in the oil lobby kind of thing. Hard to say. Now, during this segment, unfortunately, we have lost David. He is experiencing technical difficulties. Apparently, we were talking about the FCC and internet speeds, and they heard. So they've destroyed his connection, and as soon as he pays the monkeys to get back in the wheel, he'll be back on. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, he'll be back.
What do you think about this study, Don?
Well, it seems pretty straightforward. I mean, if you follow the scientists, they have good ideas. That's what they do for a living.
It is what they do for a living. Yeah. Of course, there's a lot of those folks out there that'll say that they're shilling for whatever, for big pharma or the climate change lucrative lobby.
Yeah. And there's just as many or more from the other side.
Yeah. So I don't think that
most scientists.
I think there's more money in working for the oil companies than against them.
Yeah.
If we're doing the old adage that I like to follow of follow the money, there's really not a whole lot of money in science. Not in pure science. In ethical, down to brass tacks and earth's, science. You're doing research for research's sake, the results come out. Oftentimes what you went in there for might be proven completely wrong, or you might find something that you did not expect at all. That's the way science works. And far it works awfully well.
Yeah, so I mean, it's too bad that there isn't more science for science's sake and that. I mean, it really is too bad. That's how improvements happen. I mean, it'd be a lot better if people would fund science so that we can actually move on in our existence.
Yeah. Well, we have, we've been having this just terrible rash in this country. I wish we could get a cream for it, of anti-intellectualism where, especially the pundits and everybody, that they seem to think that, well, I wasn't very good in school at math and science and stuff like that. I was always into sports. And they wear that like it's some sort of badge of honor, like that's exactly what was expected of them and that's what they should have done. Not that,
well,
you know.
That's what it was.
Yeah. But why is that good? Why is being ignorant of the way things actually work, having that relationship with reality, why is that lauded above other things? I don't understand it in any way.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense to, I guess, anybody who has an intellectual level of understanding or at least wanting to have an intellectual understanding.
Yeah, just a mild interest in science. That's all I'm really asking for people to have.
We're talking about the opinion on climate change?
Yeah.
My internet went down.
Well, yes. And welcome back, sir. Now that the FCC is off your trail.
I'll drink to that.
So yeah, we went through the shortlist there that PBS had culled from the larger Pew report, both of which, by the way, are linked on our show notes for episode 43 out at our website www.orellyradio.com, orellyradio.com. So we're just trying to figure out, in our very perplexed way, why people think it's cool to not like science.
Because science spits in the face of religion a lot of times.
Do you think it's just a straight ideological gap?
It's a problem of faith, where science says you don't believe anything that you can't test and prove. And faith, religion says, believe this. Can't prove it, but believe it.
Yeah. Well, I suppose that's going to be a great opportunity to move into the humanities, religion, and politics section.
Fantastic.
The American Family Association finally fired the most notorious right-wing religious bigot, Brian Fisher. He is no longer in their employ. Of course, he's done so much damage that they can't really run from him.
Yeah.
He's always had a special place in Right Wing Watch's heart. So he actually has like an entire section. So this story came to us from Right Wing Watch, and they actually itemized out some of the things that he's gone on the record for hating. So let's see. He said Muslims are stupid and violent because of inbreeding. Gay sex is domestic terrorism. I don't know what else you could call it. If DADT is repealed, America will be defended by sexual perverts and deviants. Don't ask, don't tell. Every mosque is an IED and every Muslim is guilty of treason. Homosexuals are defined by one characteristic only. They want to use the anal cavity for sex.
What about lesbians?
I don't know. They don't count, apparently.
I like this one. Gays are Nazis.
Yeah. See that one right there, right next to liberals hate God. Well,
right.
Mm-hmm. Welfare just gives money to people who rut like rabbits. It's just, it's a treasure trove of horrible things.
9/11 terrorists were agents of God's wrath.
Agents.
I thought they were terrorists.
Well, you know
and
what?
They were also Muslim. So are you saying that the Muslim God is superior to the Christian God and that he uses their people as his agents of wrath?
Well, no, he's just saying that, that Christian God will use anybody as a tool. Period.
What a tool.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
These are driven by a dark, venomous, demonic hatred. I mean, I know quite a few gays, and none of them are really driven by hatred. They're pretty fairly happy.
Loving, wonderful people is what I know. Yeah. Oh, he suggested that the Charlie Hebdo attack was God's punishment for the magazine's blasphemy. Yeah. Being an active homosexual should disqualify you from public office. And
once upon a time it did.
You'll never find a more directly demonic energy than when you deal with the homosexual agenda.
This guy's got some issues.
Removal of prayer and the Ten Commandments from schools is responsible for the Colorado shooting. Yep. People who believe in evolution are disqualified from holding political office in the United States of America. There's that anti-intellectualism again.
ISIS to punish America for gay rights. This guy needs to be part of the Westboro Baptist Church.
Yep. He's right up there.
That's probably who's going to hire him next.
Nah, they don't have any money. It's just a family outfit anymore. It's just a family outfit, and they've had tremendous attrition. And rightly
I wonder
so.
Why.
Yeah. But those that are in there, they are in.
Yeah.
There's no pulling them out.
All 15 of her sons and daughters and shit.
Yeah.
Drinking the Kool-Aid. Drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Now just so that the folks out there that have not realized that there are such people in existence and that we might just be making this up, the Rachel Maddow Show actually has a clip from the American Family Association's show that had him on there. Let me see if I can play that now.
Meet Rachel. She's a news anchor.
Well, first we obviously
and passionate.
First we obviously have a promo. That's nice of them to put that right in front. So I will just kill some time here for 20 seconds while it plays. And
did we cover here we go. Yeah, we covered last week the pastor with the crimes against humanity charge. Didn't we?
Crimes against humanity. I don't
pastor who did the kill all the gays law in Uganda?
No, we didn't touch on him.
We didn't touch him?
I don't think so. I don't think we did. I'd have to go back, but I don't recall that from the show notes or
neither.
I don't think we addressed that. But yeah, that's a great segue. We don't need to talk about Fisher anymore. He's had enough airtime. And if you want, you can go out to rightwingwatch.org and just search for Brian Fisher, BryanFischer, and you will find everything that he's been up to for the last several years, and it's all wrong and horrible, and you'll get your fill real quick. So since you've brought it up, I think you have a link or something. You've found something. What's on your mind about?
I saw this the other day. I'm bringing it up now, but it was a pastor who assisted in the kill all the gays law for Uganda.
Yeah, he's being brought up on like human rights violations, right? That was the deal. What organization
yes,
was doing it?
Yes, crimes against humanity charged. He lost his last appeal to delay the proceedings. Okay, here we go. Scott Lively.
Ah, yes.
Scott Lively.
That's the bastard.
Officially titled the Anti-Homosexuality Act, and more commonly known as the Kill the Gays Bill, Lively's vision was nothing less than a roadmap for the total persecution and eradication of homosexuals from Uganda. In his original design, anyone caught engaging in homosexuality would be executed. A newer bill softened that stance after worldwide condemnation. In the latest version, homosexuals would only be sentenced to life in prison. Unfortunately for Lively, orchestrating genocide in another country is kind of frowned upon. So there was a 2012 lawsuit filed against him in federal court in Massachusetts for crimes against humanity. And this week, the First Circuit Court of Appeals denied his final request to have it dismissed because, yeah.
Nice.
You kind of wanted to write a law that involved killing a whole bunch of people for being who they are. And that's not okay to oppress people.
No, it's not.
Essentially.
And there's some surprisingly strong gay activists in Uganda. You can just punch it in and you'll get articles like out on the New Yorker with pictures of these folks, and they have a strength that is just really amazing, because they are putting their faces, their names right there in the media, essentially becoming their own wanted posters.
Yeah. Like, you think that the right wing against marriage equality stuff is bad here. They can walk down the street and not be executed summarily for being gay in America. They can't do that in some other countries. There's quite a few that you cannot go to as a homosexual. It's not safe.
No. It's all bad. It's all bad.
So here's a quote from the guy. Homosexuality is not just another sin. It is a sin that defines rebellion against God, the outer edge of rebellion against God, and it is the harbinger of God's wrath. That's why the scripture gives the warning, as in the days of Noah. And the article here, I'll post a link on the notes. In a way, it makes sense that Lively would be adamant that homosexuality was worse than mass murder, considering that the mass murder of gay people is what he stands accused of trying to achieve.
Wow.
Oh. Douche.
Yeah. The motivations of people, it's really amazing that such hate can live in someone's mind to the point where they would be willing to do this, to alienate those people that they hate so much and kill them. I mean, that's a horrible person. He's failed at being a human at that point. He's become a monster.
Yeah. They say the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and I will submit, devil's advocate here, that his intentions are good in following the Bible. He's trying to be a quote-unquote good Christian.
Yeah.
But doing horrible shit to other people in the name of your faith doesn't make you a good Christian.
Yeah, I'll go with that. I've always been torn in that, okay, you're going to be a Christian, a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Sikh, whatever you want to be. If you have bought into it whole hog, all the way, and you think that every last little bit of it is true, then you have to be what we call an extremist now. Because that's what's expected of you. That is what you need to be if you bought in completely.
Well, it depends on your sect.
Not so much. I'm just talking, if the Bible, on your own, without other people telling you what to do, if you read the documentation and you follow it to the letter, what would you get? If you did not have adult supervision while you were reading these books, telling you...
You'd be stoning people to death for wearing mixed fabric cloth.
Yeah. You'd start at the beginning, and somewhere before you might have hit the New Testament, you might already be in an institution.
The soldiers who went to other countries and raped the women would be forced to take those women as their wives.
Or be stoned. Yeah. Or be stoned to death with them.
Or have those women stoned to death.
Yeah. No. It'd be with them. Because if you don't then take her as your wife, then, well, it depends. Was she a virgin? Because if she was a virgin, then yes, you have to marry her. But if she was not a virgin, and then it's just adultery, and then she gets stoned, and you're fine.
But it's a little bit different though, because you're sacking a country, so you're basically taking over rule of the land. So they get a little bit more leeway in regards to that.
War crimes. The local
populace would be considered slaves.
Right. And so far, all the holy books really, you know, they kind of condone that kind of slavery. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. No.
So that's where I'm torn. And that's why I always have these conversations with people that are true believers, they say. And I say, are you really a true believer? Let's go through this a little bit and let's find out. And inevitably I find that they don't completely buy the whole thing. And I'm wondering why they buy any of it at that point. And that's what I can never understand. It's like, why is it that you can reject the things that you find truly ludicrous and that are bad for society, but the other things, you got to stick with that. Like in Leviticus, you can't wear mixed fabrics. You can't eat shellfish. You can't blah, 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 blah. All the laws. You ignore almost all of them in your daily life and have from the beginning of your time here on the planet. But that thing about gays, that is where you're going to put your flag in the sand. Why? Why that and not anything else? There's not a good reason.
We had a discussion about a friend recently who was, he's wrong about a lot of things, but he's very confident in what he believes. And it's quicker to let him totally fuck something up than to explain to him why he's wrong. Because he can't get there. Mentally, you can't accept the idea that he's wrong. I think that's a lot of people in America, and they're brought up with religion integrated into our lives. You cannot go, I think, more than 3 miles without running into a church. Most people are brought up in a Christian type household of some sort or other. That's just how it is here in America. So, when you get somebody early on, you get them young and you pound into them this ideology, it becomes very emotionally distressing and possibly even painful for them to change it later on in life.
Yeah, those
so
have been proven to be true.
Cognitive dissonance sets in and you go nowhere. They would rather do the mental gymnastics to explain away all the shit that doesn't make sense than to acknowledge that their foundation
is wrong.
God is infallible and all of this stuff doesn't make sense, then the rest of it can't possibly be right because it's a whole package.
Yeah. But the packages are different. It's like getting different combo meals at the drive-thru.
It's more like Werther's Original in three different wrappers, because Christianity is deeply based off of the Jewish faith, with several exceptions, most notably that Jesus was a prophet to the Jews and to Christians. He is God incarnate on earth.
There are so many mental gymnastics for the Holy Trinity, which I don't care what brand of Christianity you've chosen to go with. Okay. Because to me, they're all wrong. But if you follow the history of Christianity, all the things that you're believing started essentially in the Catholic Church. It's the mother church, essentially.
Yeah, it is the mother church because they killed all of their competition back in the day.
That was what you did. Yeah.
It is what you did. Yeah. And before there was the Roman Catholic Church, which is the mother hen of all things Christianity. Mm-hmm. It was Judaism.
Right.
There was no Christianity before Judaism.
Well, Jesus was a Jew.
He was a Jew.
And if Jesus came back,
has grown.
Here's the great thing. If Jesus came back tomorrow, he would still be a Jew. He wouldn't be a Christian. He would be a Jew.
Yep.
You know, it's just
that's not something that they really advertise when you grow up in a Roman Catholic household, going to a Roman Catholic private school and church like this guy here.
Yeah, that doesn't come up in conversation.
No. Had to find that out later in life.
It's the logic train. Choo-choo! If you get on it.
I can accept new information.
Yes. I know a great many non-believers that they are non-believers specifically because they went through Catholic school.
Oh, yeah. That was a vile place.
Yeah.
The shit that occurred in that school while I was there, and then the stories from before are just amazing. Amazing.
Oh, boy. Well, I didn't mean to get into the real epistemology of how all of this is, but it seems to be just burbling on the surface of, or just below the surface of every article that we go through. It's like, why is this? Well, if we think about it, it's the ideology because of these two religious groups.
Yeah.
It doesn't take, it's not a jump. It's just like, I'm going to just kind of barely lift up your shirt here and, oh, look, there's cross there. Or, oh, look, there's Star David. Or, oh, look, there's another hijab or something like that. You know, whatever it might happen to be.
Crescent moon or whatever.
Yeah.
No, it's, you know, part of the problem with the ideology of religious faith is the unbendable nature of it. It will not bend. And you know what happens to things that will not bend? When two things that will not bend clash together, one of them's going to break.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, as world population has soared, we now have multiple unbendable things running into each other on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So the turmoil and the strife, which is almost 100% of it is religious based, is just going to keep on cranking up the noise till they get to 11.
Speaking of things that will not bend or that will bend, the Mormon Church has just recently come out. It's not one of our stories, so don't bother looking at the show notes for it. They just recently came out in support of GLBT rights to a point. So it's conditional love, but they are continuing to evolve their faith. It's totally a half measure. It's not really meant to be anything. It's almost identical to when they were, when they had to desegregate the church itself, where men of color and now they're still having problems with women, where men of color could actually be deacons and whatnot.
I will give the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints a fair amount of credit that they have actually, over time, taken the prevailing thought of society and slowly, carefully,
they're trying to move it forward
into their core set of beliefs. So they are the only.
They're the only
church that bends. Yeah.
They're the only Christian based faith that is willing and has proven so to modify their beliefs based on the reality of the world they exist in. And I have to certainly have to give them credit for that.
And they do it in a much more meaningful way than any other faith has done.
I've noticed though only when the law comes into play. So when it was illegal to have segregation, and after a little while when they were going to start to get lawsuits, that's when they came out with the epiphany, you know, the new understanding from God that it was okay now. And that everything that happens to still be written in the books is, no, that's no longer the case. That is the way we were. This is now the way we are.
Now,
the same thing with polygamy. They did the same thing with polygamy. And now they're doing it with gay and lesbian and
relations. Well,
they're kind of
LGBT and other,
I think they're still really sketchy on the rest.
They're still really sketchy on it. And the, I pulled up an article days after Mormon Church endorses some LGBT protections, LDS lawmakers in Idaho vote against them. So, I mean, it's still touch and go. It's still, they're still viewing it out and trying to figure out how to actually.
There was a couple groups that splintered off from the main LDS church, many decades ago. And they are the more fundamental ones that, that maintain a more hardline approach to the original books.
And they're also the ones that still practice the polygamy, and they're wherever they can marrying off like preteen girls and shit like that, which is not okay. Which, just quick segue, I can be okay with polygamy as long as everybody's an adult.
Consenting adults, consenting adults can do whatever the hell they want.
When consenting adults get together and come to this conclusion that this is how we want to have a relationship, have your relationship.
Yeah, so I agree.
We'll figure out the tax codes. All that is fucking numbers.
And it's going to be complicated, but yes, it can be done.
It's going to be complicated, but it can be done. It can be done, and fine, whatever. You want two wives, there's a woman might want three husbands.
If you can deal with the whole sister wife thing, more power to you. I don't know.
If you can't. Yeah. I don't know how you're going to get by, because most households need two incomes to get by. But I guess maybe it's made easier if you have like eight.
Yeah, they might have a whole bunch of incomes with one main caretaker of the house, another one full-time caretaker of the children, and then a couple full-time earners. I mean, that can work. In fact, it's kind of having a community to raise a family.
Yeah, you have a community inside of a house.
Yeah, but
that's too many people.
Man, that's complicated.
I like going someplace and having a spot where it's quiet.
Good luck with that in that kind of environment. What was that, Don? You were low on the volume there.
I was just saying big houses.
Yeah.
that's why every place, every neighborhood that's being built now is building big houses.
Well, people like, we're spread out in America anyway. We're kind of spoiled on the amount of space we get. But we are tangenting very far away from where we started.
Well, it's okay. It's okay, because I was actually
Brian Fisher.
I was purposely tangenting into the LDS Church, because Mitt Romney has decided unequivocally that he will not run for president for a third time.
Fuck. There goes all the binders I purchased.
Oh, the binders full of women comes again. There you go.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, well, yes. I see what you did there too, because of the show and it's. So I just thought that was amusing. And again, we're still looking for who's going to emerge as the front runner for the GOP.
They haven't got a guy who can beat half a dozen Democrats I could name off the top of my head who are more charismatic, have a better track record of voting, and just haven't bought into a whole slew of ridiculous shit that we see coming out of modern day Republican Party. Not to mention the Koch brothers having a caucus before the Republican Iowa caucus to decide who is going to be the next GOP leader tells most of America everything we want to know about the GOP.
Yeah. The Koch brothers, Koch brothers, Koch brothers, whatever you want to call them, however you want to pronounce their name, they are pretty much going to decide it. And in the 2012 election cycle, each of the main parties, you know, the red versus the blue, as I like to just call them, each one raised roughly $1 billion in order to run.
Yeah. Between Obama and Romney, it was $2.2 billion spent on the campaigns.
Yeah. The Koch brothers have promised that they are going to devote
$889 million.
Up to $1 billion towards the 2016 election cycle.
So they're buying their
and they candidate. Will still
two
will
men
still lose the presidency.
Two men are going to spend the amount that an entire political party was able to roust.
Mm-hmm. So they're buying their candidate.
They are attempting to outright buy an election in the wake of the Supreme Court decision, which is idiotic, to take off the caps on how much a candidate can receive from any donor.
Citizens United.
Thank you, Supreme Court justices, for fucking America.
Yeah.
But with that said, even with the extra money, they will still fail.
That's why I only said they're buying a candidate.
They're buying a candidate for $889 million. Yeah. I am thoroughly convinced that the problems, you know, Romney and Obama were neck and neck for spending. Yeah. And Romney got crushed. The problem wasn't money.
Well, the problem was that the rest of the United States was not quite ready for all the weird things that Mormons do. Of course, I'm taking that right back to religion on purpose because he wears the magic underwear. There, I said it. Yes, magic underwear. I know they're temple vestments, but still, you think they're the magic. You have this weird thing. Just admit it to yourselves and move on. They're just cloth. And they're ugly. They're really, really ugly.
Meh.
Have you seen them?
Yes. I saw their promotional video.
How can you even think of being sexy in those?
It's not, you're not supposed to be sexy in those. That's the point.
You're not supposed to be sexy ever. Ever.
Well, that's
ever.
For women, that is every religion.
That's true.
Christianity. Judaism, fucking
Islam. That's pretty true. I'm sure there's
Mormons. That is every religion wants the women to not be sexy, and it's a fucking chauvinist ideology that you know if you're sexy, those men they're just causing all kinds of impure thoughts because they shouldn't be held to a standard where they have to control themselves.
No, how dare they?
You have to take the foul fucking load for us. Dude.
I have an idea. That could be atheism's new pull, is that they want the women to be sexy.
Oh, and we do. I think actually that's already been done, Don.
Oh, okay.
I think that is there. typically atheists find smart sexy, really. So if you've gone down this path. Because usually it's the, well, I'm not sure, you know, I'll walk you through a deconversion. Okay. So you start off, you're drinking the Kool-Aid, everything seems to be okay. And then you start to really become self-aware and you wonder, and then you start to ask questions casually at first because you've been told that, the answers are all here. So you're expecting to get answers and then you're told not to ask questions. And then you start to ask more questions because you don't tell somebody not to do something and expect them to actually follow that advice, especially if they're a teenager, you know, or a child or anybody that's inquisitive enough to go down that line. So more and more questions get asked. They get uncomfortable with the answers and there starts to become the cognitive dissonance because you start to learn one thing that makes better sense than the thing that you had already been indoctrinated to learn. And it hurts. It physically pains you to go through this process. And eventually, over a long period of time, you finally just break. And it doesn't work for you anymore. You physically can no longer believe in what you were going through. There are some, but there are rare cases that have returned back to religion. Usually it's some horrible event in their life, and we have to kind of excuse them that because bad things happen to good people all the time.
Yes.
So, but the typical reaction is that you kind of lose your mind. You don't understand the world. You're trying to figure it all out. And then you realize that one book didn't have the answers, and the people that kept teaching you the book didn't have the answers and didn't want the questions even asked. And as you kept asking questions, you found other people that are willing to work with you and answer those questions and give you real, tangible evidence, and then told you, here, go look for yourself. It's right here and here and here and here, and we got a thousand million books on it. And all you have to do is go into the library, and all the information is right there. And once that Pandora's box has been opened, you get really, really angry because you realize that your entire life up to that point was based on lies. That is where you get the angry atheist. And that is what people see, is that guy that has finally broken with religion and he is pissed off because he's been lied to his entire life. And then slowly, as they get used to their new reality, they calm down and everything's better. And they argue less, and then they become more and more apathetic as they discover a new way to live in their new relationship with reality. Mm-hmm. That's deconversion for you. It's not for everyone.
No. There's a lot of people can't handle the mental anguish of accepting that everything they believed in for X years, which can be a lot, is possibly not true.
Yeah.
They cannot make that mental leap of faith.
Pretty much. That's what it amounts to.
And so when presented with evidence to the contrary, they reject it.
Yes, to quote Adam Savage, I reject your reality and substitute my own. Speaking of rejecting reality and substituting my own, Chuck Norris wants to engage young people in democracy by insulting them. He states in a recent column that was written for townhall.com, Chuck Norris says, I understand.
Wait. Why is he not roundhouse kicking people?
Maybe he did that before or after the comment. But occasionally he does have lines.
His communication method is roundhouse kicking. If something's coming out of his mouth, he's doing it wrong.
No. I've seen enough Texas Ranger. I've seen enough of that. He had lines.
He had lines and he delivered lines as someone who's never taken an acting class would.
He's looking a little rough.
The third fist that comes out of his beard.
Oh, yes. You don't want to be punched by Chuck Norris's beard. That's just
no.
That's never good. But anyway, he said words
that
here.
That breaks the fourth wall.
a right and a beard.
When the beard fist comes out, he's broken the fourth wall.
Oh God, beard fist. Maybe that should be the name of the episode. Beard fist. But people would have to wait so long to get to it, they'd never understand. So we'll move on. okay. Chuck Norris has said, these are the word sounds that came out of his mouth hole. I understand that millennials generally are independent but vote Democratic, are less conservative and more liberal, believe in marriage equality and climate change, are anti-death penalty and anti-guns, are pro-marijuana legalization, favor big government solutions, and are neither particularly patriotic nor very religious. Yet I know that millennials love their country, believe in governmental activism, know the power of local community involvement, are open to truth, are willing to be challenged, and have never been more disillusioned with President Obama and his fellow Democrats than they are today. He had me pretty much right up to there.
Yeah. The part about are neither particularly patriotic nor very religious. Like the first three sentences in his next paragraph are in direct
Direct opposition to that?
Direct opposition to that statement. Yeah. Yeah, I know they love their country, believe in governmental activism, know the power of global community involvement. Yeah. Yeah. Those are patriotic things to do for most people.
Yeah. That,
but yeah.
I do not particularly believe, you know, as far as being patriotic, I'm not big into nationalism because I think we need to think bigger on a more world stage because we are all technically one race of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, color doesn't really matter. Imaginary lines and geography don't really make a whole big difference to me.
We're a global community now.
Yeah. So, the idea of nationalism, I think, is just dangerous. It's as dangerous possibly as religion.
We should look out for our own. And that is...
Everybody with a pulse on the planet is technically our own. If you really want to look at it that way. I mean, I can make that argument.
I mean, we do a lot of good for the rest of the world. You know, or at least we have good intentions with the things that we do. I mean, there's a lot of people out there and they're trying to get clean water to other places in the world. They're trying to get power to other places in the world.
I prefer our more democratic system of government to the other governments of the world.
Yes.
I can say that. I'm in favor of our democracy or the concept thereof, our democracy, with some modifications or removal of certain modifications over time. But given that, I still think that nationalism itself is a dangerous idea. Unfortunately, that knowledge that it's a dangerous idea doesn't really relate very well to the environment that we're in, where everyone is nationalized.
We are the tribe of, United States of America. That's our tribe.
Which, as we know, is a stupid name for a country. Think about it. The United States of America.
That's South America, North America. North America's got three countries on it.
Yeah, the United States of America.
But I don't
two continents named America. Canada and Mexico, they got it right. You know?
I'm not certain when the founding fathers of this country were put in pen to paper, I'm not certain that they believed we would ever stop expanding. And I think that that's kind of indicative and built right into the name.
I wonder.
Now, we could have expanded all the way north as far as the land went and all the way south, all the way through South America. As far as the land went, and envisioned that maybe someday the United States of America would be two continents large.
You might be onto something there, or they might not have envisioned any more expansion. Where it was just going to be.
That wouldn't make sense with the name that they chose.
Where it was just going to be the 13 United States.
Yep.
Well, the documents there, that were written at the time, they were kind of forced. So coming up with a new name would have been difficult as well, because you were also trying to herd all the cats of colonists that all wanted their own say and everything. So it was definitely a difficult time.
Given the colonies that they had at their disposal at that time, and given what they knew of the world, knowing full well that there was more west, and there was more north, and there was more south, They may very well have been in the ballpark of let's make something that has limitless potential for expansion.
They may have very well done that, especially well, given how they crafted the Constitution to be a malleable document,
given our flag as well, which has a lot of symbolism built into it, but it also has room for expandability. Didn't always have 50 stars on that sucker.
True. True.
And as the country grew, the flag evolved with it.
I have continued to be surprised that that we have not had the 51st state of Puerto Rico yet.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Yeah. They're perfectly happy being a territory.
They don't have anything to gain.
Yeah, they don't have anything.
Going back to Chuck Norris, there's a lot of Kool-Aid here.
Back to Chuck. Yeah. He is a born-again Christian. So all of his... Ever since I think it was
all of his opinions are now molded and
ever since I saw him in I think it was like a Bowflex commercial or something that it was hawking one of those exercise machines. It was even the commercial had overtly religious overtones. It was disturbing.
He didn't add water with his Kool-Aid. I think he takes it right out of
He snorted the powder.
He's snorting the powder. It is concentrated.
He thinks conservative adults shouldn't respect the ability and dignity of young people to educate themselves and form their own opinions. Because jumping off the bandwagon of bigotry is their allegiance and generational calling card.
Yeah, I mean, Democrats don't favor big government solutions. We want efficiency. Yes, we want the government to do stuff with our tax dollars. That benefits us because we're fucking paying for it. That's our tax dollars. That makes all that shit run. And we should get something in exchange for our tax dollars. I don't think that's an unfair statement to make. You know, if you go to a corporation and say, here, have $20. You expect something in return for your $20 investment in that corporation, be it buy into their stock or perhaps one of the products that they sell. But something in exchange for what you are handing over.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm coming from in my I feel like I'm moderate, but I'm told often that I'm a Democrat by people who are Republican. So.
Well, that's not really a surprise considering, you know, even the Republicans will call a libertarian a Democrat.
Yeah.
You know, which is way wrong, but you know, it is what it is. There are certain fundamentals that I have to give them one allowance, and that is that the political parties have changed over the years.
They have.
There's been a real...
The Republicans used to be the liberals.
Yeah, long ago, it completely flipped. You know, we're talking like back in Lincoln time here. I mean, from then forward, you know, they've switched around.
Yeah. So, And pretty much every stance, you know, the Democrats were the conservatives, and by conservative and liberal, we mean modern day definitions of those terms. The two parties have literally flipped. That's a thing.
It is a thing. Yes. Additionally, just when the modern Republican Party, as we see it, did not exist before Reagan. Actually, really before Reagan was done. Because Reagan started them down this ultra-conservative route. And I suppose we have a great deal of the Cold War to blame for a lot of the whole Red Scare in general has really pushed us deeper into religion and fear of the way the world is outside of our borders, you know, across the seas that are our biggest borders, the giant moats, if you will, along the coast.
I gotta be honest. I had to quit taking good old Chuck seriously when he released his video. I don't remember if it was the first or the second. I think it was the second Obama election where he was versus Romney. And, he got on TV with his wife and claimed that if Obama gets reelected, we will usher in an age of 1,000 years of darkness.
Yeah, because that wasn't hyperbolic at all.
No, because one man getting 4 more years of elected office of one country of hundreds of industrialized nations on this planet is going to usher in 1,000 years of darkness.
Of course, because he's the Antichrist.
Right.
Because that's straight up biblical.
It was straight up biblical. But he's like the friend I mentioned before. He was wrong. I believe thoroughly that he is wrong, but he was confidently wrong. So, he was truly behind his statement. There would be 1,000 years of darkness if Obama got another 4 years. Which is,
you know, yeah. I think I'm seeing some of the cognitive dissonance actually in him right now. Of course, that's overlooking the fact that he missed the 61% approval rating for the president, among 18 to 29 year olds after the State of the Union address. So he's just wrong in that they don't like him. Additionally, he wrote a book called Black Belt Patriotism. Okay. And in this, you know, okay, let's dissect this sentence. Young Americans are willing to move America forward, but don't see any other way ahead beyond the creation of a more socially conscious, domestically strong, globally peaceful nation.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
What is wrong with that? Why does he is presenting that as if it is something that he disagrees with?
That's the only way that can be read. We should not be domestically strong and we should not be globally peaceful. Why not?
Or socially conscious.
Or socially conscious, yeah.
That is the way we need to be so that we take care of one another.
Yeah, because we're not really so much about the fuck everybody else, which I believe there was a certain guy who talked a lot about loving other people.
Did he share a lot of fish and bread?
I think his name was Jesus.
Yeah, I think he shared a lot of fish and bread with people and
bright
some stuff like that
and wine.
Yeah. And he was a carpenter, I think. Yeah,
he made a lot of wine.
Yeah, yeah. So
and I bet that was some good shit back in the day.
Yeah,
he's lacking on the water.
Yeah. So again, what we come down to is the party that extols all the virtues of something that is not the faith that they actually have.
Yeah, it's the antithesis of the faith that they actually have.
And yet, that's the one they want to go with. I don't get it. But I'm not supposed to get it, obviously. So, I think we can safely say Chuck Norris is only good in the movies pre-1995.
Pre-audio.
He was great in that movie where Bruce Lee kicked his ass.
He should have just stuck to silence acting.
Jeez. Okay. So
he should have stuck to silent politicking too. I should find that video and put a link in the show notes where he talks about the 1,000 years of darkness. Cause it's like, no, sure. You're not roundhouse kicking people right now. And it's unacceptable.
Nice. Yeah, because, sure. Go ahead and see if you can find that. And we'll pop it in the show notes that you can find out at www.oreallyradio.com. Of course, this is episode 43. If you've made it this far, congratulations. I should really send you something. Because we've been talking for a while, and I'm sure that you're probably tired of us ranting on certain things.
When you go to YouTube and you enter in Chuck Norris 10, you get 1,000 years of darkness.
Wow.
Auto population.
Holy. Yeah, okay, so that was popular. Okay, that was easy.
1,329,000 views.
Wow, that's more than I expected. I suppose. Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and drop that in the show notes, right under the item under humanities for Chuck Norris wants to engage young people. Okay. So we kind of we hit heavily on Netanyahu's visit to the United States upcoming in March and how Bonner is pretty much committing treason with the violation of the Logan Act. But now, apparently that wasn't enough for Netanyahu, and his ambassador to the U.S., Ron Dermer, is basically throwing Bonner under the bus and continuing to court other people in the Senate and the House. So Netanyahu himself has personally called the major arch Democrats, personally trying to weasel them onto his side.
I don't think they should even show up for his speech when he arrives. I think they should give him the good old turn your back and walk out treatment. Because everything about this visit is wrong.
I think that they should not turn their back, but simply not show up. Because to turn your back on someone that is there shows a different degree of disrespect, and that could be manipulated by any other global media to say something else, as if there is division, and there's division in that we no longer support Israel by turning our back on the Prime Minister. I think
they should have a press conference talk and justify their not showing up to his speech, as anybody who's in there is unduly, how to phrase it. They're allowing this other man to dictate a foreign policy outside of what the State Department and the executive branch, who has the sole authority to make our foreign policy, wants.
Yeah. It's all bad.
And we will play no party to this sham. Because it is a dog and pony show. For sure. They should not take part in that.
In an article entitled, Israeli Ambassador Netanyahu Never Meant to Disrespect Obama, Jeffrey Goldberg started off by asking, it is widely believed by, among others, me, that you and your government were making an end run around the White House. Is this not the case? To this, Ambassador Ron Dermer rather desperately tried to appeal to the public. Quote, the survival of Israel is not a partisan issue, end quote. And then he got right to the point of tossing a hot ball at the U.S. House Speaker. From the Atlantic, this is worth reading, I think.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you the facts. This is quoting from the Atlantic. Now, let me tell you the facts. The Speaker's office initially reached out to me regarding the idea of the Prime Minister giving a speech less than 2 weeks before an official invitation was sent. We said that we were open to making such an address and went back and forth with the Speaker's office to see if there were potential dates that could work for the Prime Minister's schedule and the congressional calendar. The final decision to invite the Prime Minister was made by the Speaker's office the day before he was invited, and I was informed of it that afternoon. It was also made clear to me that it was the Speaker's responsibility and normal protocol for the Speaker's office to notify the administration of the invitation. That is why I felt it would be inappropriate for me to raise the issue with the administration, including in my meeting with the Secretary of State, until the Speaker notified them. The Speaker's office apparently informed the administration about it the morning of the announcement, around 2 hours before it was publicized. After it was publicized, we were in contact with the administration officials, both here and in Jerusalem. We informed them that we wanted to move the date to March 3rd so that it could be combined with a visit to the AIPAC, that's the political action group for, like, pro-Israel, etc., that the Prime Minister was also considering that meeting. Once that date was cleared with the Speaker's office, the Prime Minister officially announced that he would accept the invitation to come and speak. So, end quote of the Atlantic. So, in this, he says that he was trying to follow protocol as he understood it. That it was not up to him to do that, because the understanding, as it was given to him, was that that was the speaker's responsibility.
Now, who would have told him that? Not John Boehner.
No, of course not. Of course not. But, you know, with much of this, of the global politics, you can't start off with a knife to someone's face. You have to trust them that things are going to be a certain way. So I can certainly see how this could have, how that actually could have been the case.
Now, there's been also a lot of outrage in Israel against Netanyahu because he's being painted as doing an end run around Israel's greatest ally.
Yeah.
We are their dog. And you just snubbed their president, which is intrinsically harmful to his reelection campaign. Because in spite of whatever Israelis in general might think of us, they also have an understanding that we provide them with a lot of money and a lot of military hardware and the assurance that we will back them up.
Yeah.
Should push come to shove. So Boehner just put Netanyahu in a shitty, shitty spot.
Yeah, but it was also it was also one that he wandered into of his own volition, too.
Well, he's been traveling around the world. Netanyahu's been traveling around the world, speaking before people saying, hey, you know, we've got to do something about this situation. We in Israel are really uncomfortable about this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Help us out here. Throw us a bone here.
Yeah, well, he's had so much explaining to do with the entire Palestine issue, and then, of course, there's Iran. I mean, it's all about Iran, really, at this point.
It is all about Iran, and I was discussing this on one of the Facebook, the one you invited me to, actually. Iran is going to have nuclear capability. Mm-hmm. That is going to happen. Whether that is simply civilian nuclear power or it's actual nuclear weapons, one way or the other, they're going to have nuclear capability and they will have it eventually. We can only stymie them for so long before they meet with success.
Right. All we were really ever trying to do with certain programs like Stuxnet was simply to delay their program. We knew we couldn't stop it.
Yeah, it is a foregone conclusion that we cannot stop it. Even direct military intervention bombing the locations where they are refining the uranium, even that will not be enough to stop it because they can rebuild.
Yep. Of course, they could also just build some relations with the Russian
Pakistan.
Union. With Russia or Pakistan and just buy them off them. It's infantile to think that they can't get it.
Do about it.
Yeah, it's infantile to think that they can't get what they want.
They will be a new nuclear power. That is a foregone conclusion.
Yeah,
and I think the fact that our leader, Mr. Obama, has actually reached out and gotten them to has found common ground with them. ISIS has provided common ground between the United States and Iran. To where Iran is providing support to Iraq so that they can fend off ISIS. The fact that he was able to pull that shit off is amazing.
Yeah. If we thought about like Operation Desert Shield and Storm and all those, would we have possibly thought that could have been the case? No way.
He's found common ground and he's working with a group of 20 nations to provide clarity on their nuclear program and oversight and, you know, essentially what we got to do is welcome Iran to the nuclear club and say, you're going to be a nuclear power. Okay.
Here's what you need to do to not blow yourselves up.
Rule one, nuclear club. You do not lose track of your nukes.
We're looking at you, Russia.
Rule two of Nuclear Club. You do not lose track of your nukes.
We're still looking at you, Russia.
Rule three of Nuclear Club. If you fire off a nuke, you'd better have a really goddamn good reason.
You better be able to blow it up before it hits anywhere else.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to be turned to radioactive glass.
If you hit something and it hits one of our allies, we're going to erase the country of Iran.
Yeah.
And its population.
That's pretty much what happened, yeah.
That is rule 3 of Nuclear Club, and it goes for everybody who's part of it.
Yeah. Mutually assured destruction. Mad.
It does not matter if you defeat your enemies with a nuke. You will no longer exist. The rest of the world, who's part of Nuclear Club, will see to that. So in a way, having Iran join Nuclear Club is probably one of the best things for foreign relations with that country.
Yeah, it modernizes them. It puts them into that other category. And I think that is certainly valuable. Just one more thing on this before we move away from the terrors of Israel. Gesundheit. There isn't a big enough bus to save Speaker Boehner or Prime Minister Netanyahu from this one. President Obama has been overly generous with both men in spite of their previous bad behavior. But this is a slap in the face that won't be forgotten. Obama is not the type of leader to abuse his power by withholding aid or causing suffering to innocents over a slight, and this confuses those who do not operate that way. They misread Obama's character as weak. The president didn't get elected twice by being weak.
No.
President Obama will target each of these men individually in a political fight they can ill afford. And that's how the article ended, and I kind of liked that ending, so I stole it.
No, I think the reality is Obama has given the GOP enough rope to hang themselves.
In a big way.
And they did. Boehner did it. He done it. This is reckless. This is stupid. This is dangerous shit that he has done. And it goes well beyond just Netanyahu. It goes to 20 country talks that we're having with Iran at this moment to make sure that our security concerns regarding their having a nuclear program are addressed. And the reasons why they are developing nuclear weapons, potentially, those things can get addressed. You're going to be part of Nuclear Club.
Yeah.
It's a new ball game.
So, speaking of overly bad ideas, a biotech company is to release millions of genetically modified mosquitoes in Florida. Welcome to O Florida. This story was submitted by a friend of the show who may be joining us next week. I don't even know really what to say about this. What do you guys think? What do you guys think? These GMO insects, it says, will go about their business doing regular mosquito things until they mate with wild female mosquitoes. Oh, those wild female mosquitoes. The modified DNA in this experimental insect will cause all the offspring from this union to die, thus reducing the population of mosquitoes by crowding out wild-type males that can produce viable offspring. This also means the GMO mosquitoes are self-limiting as they cannot reproduce. I believe I heard something like that in Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, life finds a way.
Weren't the love bugs supposed to help control mosquitoes?
I think that was just an urban myth.
Okay.
I just looked up love bugs because I had heard the myth that bugs were genetically engineered, and I also heard the myth that love bugs were released
to do just this, basically.
To do this exact thing. But no, love bugs migrated to Florida in 1947 from Louisiana.
Ah, okay. Well, anyway.
See, we can blame Louisiana for that one. Eden, myth paint
busted.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as far as it goes, if they can control the population, that might not be a bad thing.
It's certainly a lot less...
To reduce the pesticides.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the trucks that drive around neighborhoods spraying this mysterious mist. I mean, not mysterious, but it's chemical mist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over everything. I mean, I just hearing that go around at night just kind of makes you wonder what you're breathing in.
Yeah, I have asthma. I do kind of wonder what it is they're spraying in my neighborhood.
And for everyone who doesn't, who is not familiar with the mosquito spray trucks here in Florida, that's kind of what they sound like. Is that?
Yeah.
It's really loud.
It sounds like the loudest leaf blower that you could imagine, just set on the back of a very slow moving truck.
It's a small pickup truck, and they got a giant reservoir of bug killer juice.
Yeah.
And I believe it's a gas powered system that they're using, because I can't imagine why else it would be that fucking loud. And I really wish that they'd put a muffler on it.
But I imagine that it is muffled.
Yeah.
You can get better mufflers for those little engines that really...
I don't know if it's the engine. I don't know what the hell it is. But, boy, I wouldn't want to have to drive around with it, with that, you know, a few feet from my head all the time.
I just imagine the dude in there has the windows rolled up and just has the radio booming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably. Yeah, wearing earplugs with the radio booming so we can hear that a little bit. Yeah.
Or he just uses earbuds.
I mean, but they're putting out this huge cloud. I mean, has anybody actually watched? I actually watched it a few times back at my other house.
Yeah, and my parents' house had a giant picture window that looked out at the street, and it was also, the builders of the house built it when the Space Center was new, so it, like, from this window, you can look out and see shuttle launches and stuff like that. It was really cool. But yeah, I used to stand there at night in the picture window and watch this fucker go down the street.
Yeah, it's just not comforting.
The Smoky Joe is what my parents would always call it. I don't know why. But
there goes Smoky Joe.
There goes Smoky Joe. Yeah.
No, it does look a lot like smoke. So.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell they're doing. I don't know what it is. And
you're probably supposed to get into the water, bodies of water. And
yeah, it's supposed to kill the larva. Oxitec, which is the name of the company. And by the way, you'd think that this would be an American firm that was doing it, but no, it's a UK-based biotech firm. Oxitec's plan involves the production of mosquitoes with the modified genetic code containing DNA from the herpes simplex virus, E. coli, coral, and cabbage plants. It's accomplished by injecting eggs with the modified DNA. And there's a lovely little picture of the eggs being modified. And millions of these organisms would be bred, and then the females would be removed from the population before release. Females are the ones that bite and drink blood. So only non-biting male mosquitoes should be released in Florida, assuming the FDA approves. So thankfully, the FDA has not released approval for this, but this is the plan.
Yeah. I want to read this next sentence because I love this sentence. It's entirely too comical to me. These GMO insects will go about their business doing regular mosquito things until they mate with female mosquitoes.
Yeah. Just regular mosquito things. Yeah,
Just mosquito things. That needs to be a meme, like all those...
Just mosquito things? Hashtag just mosquito things?
Just mosquito.
That's good. That's good. At least they say, well, there's not to say that there are no concerns. For example, it's possible some female mosquitoes could be accidentally released and bite humans. Oxitec says that even if that happens, there's no evidence that would result in the transfer of modified DNA or that such a thing would harm anyone. It's up to the FDA now to decide if the project goes forward. But Oxitec does have a lot of data to show their method is effective and safe from laboratory testing as well as tests in Brazil and the Cayman Islands.
Really?
Really?
Well,
so there you go. Yeah.
I was in the Caymans not long ago.
You might have been bit by a genetically modified mosquito.
I was bit by no mosquitoes. I spent a lot of time in the water.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. I just think that should be like the path to get Mosquito Man or something. You know, being bit by a genetically modified mosquito. It sounds like a comic book character.
does. It definitely does. In the attempts to control the mosquito population, we have now made our greatest superhero.
Mosquito Man.
Mosquito Man.
He's going to suck you. Wait a second.
reminds me of Car Wash, the movie. The guy who was trying to be the superhero.
Well, you know, thankfully, I don't remember that movie very well.
That movie is hilarious.
Of course it is. Of course it is. But, you know, right in that vein, as it were, you found a story, David.
I did.
It's a story.
It's a story.
About three lovely ladies.
Here's a story about a station and some lovely ladies that they want to sell. Maybe not sell. They'll probably rent them, I guess. I don't know. There's a radio competition in Panama City, Florida, because it's, of course it's Florida. And they have a, they're running a competition in collaboration with a website. Thank you, explicit rating, called fuckafan.com.
All one word, in case you're curious. Warning, extreme adult content.
Extreme adult content, like. Yeah. So, the contest winner gets to have sex with three porn stars at once. He gets a foursome with, three porn stars.
Yeah.
If that's your thing, or if you want to try out what it's like to be triple teamed, go hang out in Panama City, Florida, I guess, or check, I don't know if maybe they've got something on the web where you can win, or I don't know how it will work otherwise.
It's
prostitution isn't legal, so I don't think you can pay to play necessarily.
It's like a lottery for.
It's a lottery for making a porno with average Joes.
And who wants to see that? I mean, really?
I don't know. John was John Holmes. Who's that ugly dude?
Ron Jeremy.
Ron Jeremy.
Yeah. He's definitely a looker.
The male porn stars that are like famous are not. There's a lot of dudes, I guess, that are not okay looking at. Yeah. We watched a documentary on the adult film industry recently, Claire and I did, and it's illuminating. The male porn stars have careers that last three decades. The average female porn star lasts like 3 years.
Yeah. Well, apparently they're paid rather well. At least some of them.
Some of them.
Imagine broadcasting Rock WYYX 97X Panama City, Florida. Running a contest is sure to ruffle some feathers. Maestro tells All Access 97X is running a contest where someone has the opportunity to become a porn star. Oh, God.
Yeah. You have to be 18 or above.
Three porn actresses, Jennifer White, Sarah J, and Layla Price.
The owner of the website will fly into Panama City and pick from our top five selected applicants on the Stroke Radio Show for our special Valentine's Day show. The winner will be on the website April 19th live webcam with three porn actresses, Jennifer White, Sarah J, and Layla Price.
We're excited to make dreams come true.
Who wants to be a porn star?
Oh, God.
Already created buzz in the community. The winner will be health screened and must prove he or she is clean before they get dirty.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
This article is
so
great.
Fuck a Fan is apparently a legit website. Very NSFW, not safe for work. And they've got some clips of old guys with tiny dicks. Getting the porn star treatment. Yep. Yeah. Pretty fucking hilarious, to be honest, says the guy. And there's some previous winners, and wow, they don't look like winners. I mean, sure, they won.
Not the genetic lottery, but
no,
they won.
They definitely got lucky.
Yeah, it is a funny article to read. I like this part. Now this is a fucking radio promotion.
It's true. Brilliant marketing. It's a win-win all around. I guess except for the porn stars who get fucked by mediocre dudes and old guys and shit.
They're making their money, I guess.
Yeah, they're making the most of it, I'm sure. So, wow. And with that, that wraps up our show, really. I do have, I have a pick, just to segue from that. It's difficult to segue from that, really. okay.
I know. So is
this weekend the Super Bowl? I don't follow sport ball at all, except I might watch the commercials. But
they're going to be sportsing this weekend.
They will be sports
as hard as they can sports. Excellent. And they are going to sports all over the field on Sunday.
Oh, that sounds so sporty.
It is very
sporty. So instead, what I'll be doing is I took advantage of Steam, which is the online game resource produced by Valve. They have a sale this weekend on the Lego series of games. So like Lego Batman, Lego Harry Potter, a bunch of them, 75% off. So I got a link down there in the show notes. I spent way too much money on games that are now going to take way too much of my time. But you know what? It's my time to waste. God damn it. There we go.
Yeah.
And those are actually
that segue
too for children. So
yeah,
to save them for later when your children want to play them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by then you'll have to buy new games because the graphics will be awful on that game.
You know what? I don't know. I think they'll still like them because they're Legos. You can't really improve on the Lego graphics without holding one.
I mean, people are totally addicted to Minecraft.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. And that is basically adult Legos anyway.
Yes.
You have segued from, practicing family planning to actually planning for your family.
Thank you. Thank you. Good night.
Yeah. Jiggity.
Well, okay. That was my pick. Do you guys have anything?
After the porn star thing, I can't. What am I going to add to this conversation?
Oh, dude, I have no idea. What a way to go, really. Speaking of that, I wonder.
That's an old country song.
I wonder how many of these old dudes would basically just have a heart attack and die. I wonder if there's like a rider in the contract or something that says, if you die, you will not sue us.
It's probably the same old shit as anything else. You need to sign this insurance waiver before you take part in this activity, whether it be rock climbing or going to the gym or
whatever.
Getting banged by three chicks. So,
yeah.
It's probably the same damn waiver.
Wow.
You're going to be engaging in activities that are going to raise your heart rate and may result in injury to your muscles, pulled, strained, or sprained.
Please do not get on the ride if you have any of the following conditions.
You must be at least 60 inches to ride.
Whoa. Oh, jeez.
You must have two fully functional arms and two fully functional legs in order to safely ride this ride.
Oh my God. Well, we definitely took this show in a different direction. Okay.
That was actually on a warning sign for a roller coaster I went on once. And they weren't kidding. Cause I was white knuckle gripping that fucker. Cause I felt like I was coming out of the seat about 85% of that ride.
Wow.
Like my physical strength was the only thing holding me into that ride. They had this little bar that was like
a joke. Just a joke.
It was the width of my head. And that's what was in my lap trying to hold me in. So I had like both sides of it. Just.
Oh, that doesn't sound safe at all.
It didn't feel particularly safe. It was the only park where I've ridden roller coasters and felt actual fear. for my well-being.
Nice. Nice. Okay. That's it for tonight. We'll be back next Friday at 9:30 Eastern. In the meantime, all the conversations should continue on the web. Head over to orellyradio.com. That's orellyradio.com for all the links right at the top of the page. And do watch us live if you can and chat in the IRC like we did have one person out there. Thank you, Gecko Girl. If you have liked what we've done here, you can help keep the lights on and you can participate in the show. Go out to the website and follow the Help Us link on the webpage, and that'll take you over to patreon.com/Cowen, C-O-W-E-N. That's patreon.com/Cowen, C-O-W-E-N. That's me. And if that's too rich for you, we totally understand. Contribute to the show with topic ideas, corrections, advertising offers, uncollected lottery tickets. You can send us hate mail, unsolicited email advice, you know, whatever you want over at orellyradiopodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail, 470-222-6759. That's oh, really? And, hey, how about you post and vote on some stories on our subreddit? Yeah, we got one of those. I still need to check it. Anyway, you can also leave us a glowing review on whatever platform you found us on. And, of course, you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, Google+, and subscribe to the YouTube channel where you can see all the shows back to, like, episode 6. We can't thank you enough for spending some time with us. Until next time, this has been Oh Really Radio, part of the Cowen Services Network. Music was created by Kevin McLeod of Incomptech.com. Thanks, everybody.